Okay, we're starting from the beginning of Gimel Amud Aleph. I just want to review a little bit what we saw yesterday. So we had the Mishnah with different opinions about Mei Matam Maskirin Baruch Hashemim, and we had Rabbi Lezer who said Yom Tov HaRishon, Rabbi Yoshua said Yom Tov HaAcharon, which is the eighth day, and then they had a discussion back and forth, and then we have Rabbi Yehuda who seemed to be a third opinion, who is saying not from the beginning of the Yom Tov HaAcharon, but from Musaf of the Yom Tov HaAcharon. And the assumption would be that Rabbi Yoshua doesn't agree with him. Rabbi Yoshua would assume either we start at night or at least lefachot in the morning, if not at night. Then we saw another Braita, and that Braita gave four different opinions, or really, I would say five different opinions. There was Rabbi Lezer that said, Mishat Netilat Lulav. Okay, and there, we brought in that Braita specifically to show that why does Rabbi Lezer say we do it on the first day? Because he connects it with the lulav. And he says it's from when we take the lulav. And Rabbi Yeshua says it's when we're meniach the lulav. Now, what I didn't point out yesterday, because we're at the end of the day, is that really, there's two different understandings of Rabbi Yeshua here. You would assume that the Rabbi Yeshua here matches 100% to the Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, and that they're just two versions of what he said. Did he say the eighth day? Or did he say when you stop taking the lulav, which would mean, when do we now no longer take the lulav? On the eighth day. But some people say no. Mishah HaNachato, that according to this opinion, he actually holds, according to this Braita, they think that Rabbi Yoshua doesn't hold the eighth day, he actually holds the seventh day. If you recall, we had this whole thing about when you put down the lulavim, is it in the morning? Is it really that the whole day is considered part of that concept of, you know, you can do it, since you can do it the whole day, that it really, Mishat HaNachato is really the end of the day. So that connects with here, and whether you view, is Rabbi Yeshua talking about day 7 or day 8? There's a machloket about it. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, these two new opinions. One said B'sheni, and one said B'shishi, right? Rabbi Akiva said B'shishi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera said B'sheni. And then again, at the end of that Braita, we had, it's not on the sheet here, but because we're going to get to it later, we have Rabbi Yoshua says Mishum Rabbi Yoshua. It's later on the daf, if you jump down a little. Rabbi Yehuda said Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, Ha'ovir lifnei ateva b'yom tov ha'acharon shecha, ka'acharon maskir rishonei no maskir, right? And he basically seems to be bringing another opinion. And then the question is he saying this in the name of Rabbi Yoshua and saying that when Rabbi Yoshua says Mishat HaNachato, and then when would it be? And then here also, he's using the terms Yom Tov HaAcharon Shachag. The Gemara is going to basically establish, we're going to see later, that this Rabbi Yoshua is not the same Rabbi Yoshua. He's not giving us about Rabbi Yoshua's opinion. Rabbi Yoshua's opinion is clearly either the night or the morning, but not Musaf. There'd be no reason to push it off to Musaf. And what Rabbi Yehuda is bringing is in someone else's name. So, you know, whether or not what I suggested yesterday is a possibility, certainly the Gemara doesn't raise it as a possibility. But I don't know if it's for sure not a possibility that this Rabbi Yoshua really was the same Rabbi Yoshua, and really he's saying that according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's not in the morning, it's Musaf. Okay. Then we finished off yesterday with why you would say B'sheni or B'shishi, and we talked about the Torah portion that talks about the Korbanot, and there's this remez of Mem Yud Mem, and from there they learn a remez L'Nisuch HaMayim in the Torah, clearly not that Nisuch HaMayim comes from the Torah, but it's a remez, right? It's an allusion to it. It doesn't mean 100% it's Mita Oraita, but you see a remez for Nisuch HaMayim in the Torah, and therefore, depending on, right, there was a special thing on the second day, and a special thing on the sixth day, and then the Mishpatam, right, there was Viniskehem on day number, on day number 2 is Viniskehem, on day number 6, Nisacheha, and on day number 7, Kimishpatam. Okay, so now you have the Yud over here, you have the Mem of Niskehem, the Yud of Nisacheha, and the Mem of Mishpatam, and you get Mayim. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, it's B'sheni because that's when it starts. According to Rabbi Akiva, we saw it's B'shishi because Nisacheha is where it's clear it's making reference to one sacrifice, many Nisachim. So what does that mean? Or really two, right? Rabim is generally known as two. Two Nisachim. So from here, normally Korbanot have Nisuch HaYayin. If you just had Niskehem, what could you have thought? Niskehem would be Nisachim of Yayim for all of the Korbanot. So therefore, only from Nisachet does Rabbi Akiva really learn. Here you learn that there's two Nisachim. One is Yayim and one is Mayim. And there's the remez for Nisuch HaMayim. And since it comes on the sixth day, the Nisuch HaMayim mitzvah started on day number 6. Okay.
aside from this remez, there's no other mention of Nisuch HaMayim in the Torah?
No, so we're going to see now there isn't. There's no other mention, and we're going to learn, though, it's okay that you don't remember, even though you remember everything, but you'll, as soon as we see it, you'll remember it. Okay, we'll see where we learn it from. We're going to see another way to learn it. So then they say, Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, they're bringing a brayta now. Rabbi Natan says, Bakodesh Hasech Nesach Shechar LaHashem. Okay, here now we're going to show another remez for Nisuch HaMayim. This I don't recall learning before, I don't think we did. I see also there's no reference to anywhere else, so it appears here only. The pasuk says, Bakodesh Hasech Nesach Shechar LaHashem. Okay, it's a pasuk from Bamidbar Kavched. Okay, it's in the Korbanot. I assume it's in the Korbanot of, I didn't check exactly, but I assume it's in the Korbanot of, you know what? I'm not even sure which Korbanot it's in. Okay, we should look it up, but not now. B'shnei nisuchim ha-kachuv medaber. Okay, here we have reference to two nisuchim because it says, Hasech nesach, double lashon. Echad nisuch ha-mayim ve'echad nisuch ha-yayin. Okay, so here we have another reference from the Torah again. It's a remez in the Torah that we have nisuch ha-mayim. Okay, what's clear here is exactly the way Shoshana asked her question. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that there's Nisuch HaMayim. They have trouble believing that. So, what do we say here? If they have trouble, what are they trying to do? They're trying to find some sort of remez in the Torah for the fact that there's Nisuch HaMayim. Okay, so now, what do they say? Ema, but if you learn it from Hasech Nesach, Ema Trevayu Dechamra. Maybe it's saying Hasech Nesach, maybe they're both wine libations, and they're not necessarily one is wine and one is mayim. So they say no. We'll tell you how we know from the remez, why the remez and the pasuk is clear that it's two different nisuchim. Why? Im kein lichtov kra, the pasuk should say, if it wanted to teach you that there's two wine libations, what would it have said? Either, oh, hasech, hasech, oh, nasech, nesech. It would have used the same verb and noun. Okay? Hasech, hasech, or nasech nesech. But why does it say my hasech nesech? Why does it say pour the libation using two different words? Shmat mina chad demaya v'chad dechamra. Okay, here's a real, I would say, game playing going on. They're saying, no, it really must be nisuch hamayim because it uses two different words, hasech and nesech. I'm not going to get into grammar. They're really hasech and nesech are probably from the same root, really. It's just, in other words, I don't think they're saying a grammatical thing. It's really the same root because when you have a nun in a shorah, sometimes it falls and it's hasech. But it's still, it sounds different, right? It's a bit of a different word, even if it's the same root. So now they've established a third opinion about where we have remez for nisuch hamayim from this nisrehem nisachea kimishpatam. I'm sorry, it's really a second. And the second one is we learn it from hasech nesech. Okay. Now we're going to see a different one. Okay. But in order to get to there, we're going to bring up a question. Ve'ela, now if you, I just want to point out, we now have different, according to this, this is why I brought this at the top of the page. According to this, we have Rabbi Eliezer who says that when do we ask for rain, Mishan Mitzilat Lulav, and he doesn't connect it at all with Nisuch HaMayim, and he's kind of out for this discussion of Nisuch HaMayim because he's not relating to it at all. If you remember, this whole thing started because we said, where does Rabbi Eliezer get it from that we start on day number one? Is it from Nisuch HaMayim or is it from Lulav? And then we proved from this Braita that it's from Lulav. But once we mentioned this Braita, he said it's from Lulav, Rabbi Yoshua said it's from when you put the Lulav down, and the others related it to Nisuch HaMayim. So now we want to say, there's this Mishnah that we learned, Ve'alahad itnan in Sukkah, Nisuch HaMayim kol shiv'a. If you say that Nisuch HaMayim is all 7 days, mane, according to who does it go? Okay, now, what does it mean according to who does it go? If you say it starts on day number two, then how many days would you have? You would have from day number two till the end. The end is seven, right? So you'd have 6 days, okay? If you say it starts on day number six, you would just have 2 days of six and seven. Okay, so now, according to this, we have Nisuch HaMayim kol shiva, mane. E Rabbi Yoshua, okay, now they assume here that if we say it's Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua said, when do we start counting for rain? Mish'at hanachato. So according to him then, they're assuming that he wouldn't have Nisuch HaMayim until the end. And it would only be, the Nisuch HaMayim would be on the eighth day. So then, name achad yom. It would only be one day if we're going to connect these two. You'll see in the end they don't. But for now, this is what they're doing. I Rabbi Akiva trei yom. If it's Rabbi Akiva and it starts on day number six, it should be two. And I Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera shita yom. It should be 6 days. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So what do they say? La'olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera hi. It is Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera who said it starts at day number two, because that's right now the closest. Right? If it's Rabbi Yeshua, we only have one day. If it's Rabbi Akiva, we have 2 days. Here, we already have 6 days, so now they're going to play a little. We're going to say this. Usfira leke Rabbi Yehuda de Matanitin. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, Ditnan. What does Rabbi Yehuda say in Sukkah? Rabbi Yehuda omer belog hayam anasech kol shmona. Rabbi Yehuda had this opinion that Nisuch HaMayim continued even on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, we're not going to get into this. We had all these discussions about Shmini Atzeret and how is it like Sukkot and how is it different from Sukkot. According to his opinion, the eighth day also had Nisuch HaMayim. Can you guess where they're going already? Umapik Rishon Uma'ayle Shmini. What do they say? He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the mitzvah continues on Shmini Atzeret. He just doesn't agree that the first day, right? He agrees, he thinks it starts on the second day because of the Niskehem. Starts on day number two and ends on day number eight, and that gets us up to the number seven. And then you would say that Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiv'ah is his opinion. It's just the Shiv'ah is 2 to 8 instead of 1 to 7. Okay, that's what they think. But then they say, Umayshna Rishon Dilo, Dechiramize, why wouldn't it start on the first day according to him? Remember why? Dilo, Dechiramize Maya B'Sheni, because the remez of this Nisuch HaMayim comes B'Sheni. But now, B'Sheni Hudramize, Shmine Nami, Kiramize Mayim, Bashvi'i Hudramize. What's the issue? The remez of Nisuch HaMayim starts on day number two and ends where? On day number seven with the words Kimishpatam. That's where the Mayim ends. So if that's the case, if he starts on the second day because of this remez in the Torah, then he's clearly going to end on day number seven. So you can't say that. Now, they clearly went with him because he was closest. He was 6 days. They figured, let's stretch him one more day. Let's connect him with this opinion that you also do it on the eighth day. But they say, no. His opinion doesn't work with the eighth day because his opinion is all based on his remez and the pasuk. And the remez and the pasuk is on the second, sixth, and seventh. So now what do they say? Right? It's on the seventh day. Ella Rabbi Yoshua. So now they go back to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua didn't really say anything directly about Nisuch HaMayim. Remember, he said, we start mentioning rains on the eighth day from the time we put down the Arba Minim. So what do they say now? Rabbi Yoshua, V'Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiv'ah isn't learned out from the Torah and doesn't connect with this mitzvah of, with the issue of asking for rain. It's a separate thing. And how do we know that Nisuch HaMayim is Kol Shiva? Hilchata Gemir Alei Es Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Da Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Nechumi Ish Bekat Beit Chorton. And this is the part I think you remember. Eser Nutiot Arava V'Nisuch HaMayim Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. These three things are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What's Eser Nutiot? If you have 10 small trees, young trees, in a field that's the size of a se'ah, then the halacha of Tosefet Shvi'it, which means that 30 days before Shvi'it, you have to stop working your land, doesn't apply to them. And that's because they're young trees and they really need the water and we think they won't survive the Shemitah year, so we don't apply Tosefet Shvi'it to those trees. Okay? If they're in a smaller area, then we think they're not going to survive anyway because they're too close to each other. So therefore, Tosefet Shvi'it would apply. The whole idea is we have to save these trees and they can function, they can survive. So if they can survive in that kind of space, then we basically allow you to work that last month of Elul before the Shemitah year starts. That's one thing that's halacha l'moshe misinai. Obviously, this has no connection to our issue. It's just these three things were mentioned together. They passed down that these three things are halacha l'moshe misinai. Arava is the aravot they brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, we learned all about them when they would put the aravot around the mizbeach. And there was machloket. What day? How many days? Etc. V'niso chamayim, halacha l'moshe misinai. All these three things are halacha l'moshe misinai, in which case, we don't need a reference in the Torah, and it's just halacha l'moshe misinai. It's not midoraita, right? It's something that was passed down, and that's why we have it. And halacha l'moshe misinai, we've discussed, is a bit in between Deoraita and Derabanan. It's not a Deoraita, but it's a very strong Derabanan. Usually there's not so many machlokot about it. Everyone agrees to it. And that's why Shoshana, you said, how could it not be right in the Torah? So this is his approach. It should be, it's almost like it should be in the Torah, right? But it's not, but it's so strong.
But it seems like if we have this Masoret, what was the point of recording this whole conversation? I know that's what the Gemara does.
Because not everybody agrees on Masoret. In other words, they didn't agree there was halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. They found a remez in the psukim for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I guess the question is, when you find a remez in a pasuk also, does that mean it's not halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim? Usually halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim doesn't have any connection to the psukim. Are they saying it's d'oraita? Because it does say there's a remez in the Torah. I don't know exactly how you would view that. Is it d'oraita? Is it d'rabbanan according to them? But not everyone agreed necessarily. There was halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, and that's why they're saying it. There were different views
about
it.
So a remez or a masoret? It's difficult to know
right.
Which takes priority.
Right. I don't know. If you have a remez, is it stronger? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. If they say... see if there's any... I don't know the answer to that question with how we treat this remez and how strong this remez is. It's a good question.
In general, because this happens a lot.
Right.
And the whole argument with there was a Masoret and Moshe,
Right. Whether there's a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim or not, right. I don't know here with whether this remez, how we treat this remez. And
because that's often the end
look
of the
up.
Argument.
Right. Right. It's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. We'll leave it for now. I don't have time to start looking it up right now, but if I remember, I will. Remez versus halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Okay, fine. I'm going to look that up for you. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Now we're going to get to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, Ha'over lefnei teva b'yom tov acharon shel chag, acharon mazkir havishon eino mazkir. Remember, we say it in Musaf, we don't say it in Shacharit. And one of the reasons we gave was more people are there. And we want to make a public statement, and we want to make sure everybody's there to hear it. B'yom tov harishon shel Pesach, harishon mazkir ha'acharon eino mazkir. Right? When you end it also in Musaf. Hey, Rabbi Yoshua, which Rabbi Yoshua is this? Ilema Rabbi Yoshua de Matnitin, if it's the Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah, Ha'amar b'yom tov acharon shel chag hu maskir. He said on yom tov acharon shel chag hu maskir, which they assume means in all the tefillot of yom tov acharon shel chag, and not only in Musaf. Ela Rabbi Yoshua de Braita, ha'amar mishat hanachato. If we say it's Rabbi Yoshua in the Braita, he said from the time you put the etrog and the lulav down. Now when's that going to be? It's either going to be... right, that clearly can't be Musaf because it's either going to be on the seventh day, like we said, that some people said he's talking about day number seven. Maybe day number seven in Musaf because let's say they took their lulav and etrog in the morning, so maybe, or maybe they put it down before Shacharit, it's unclear. But it would certainly be before, and if it wasn't the seventh day, at least it's the eighth day, in the beginning of the eighth day, because you've already put down your lulav at the very end of day number seven. So as soon as day number eight comes in, you'd be saying it. Vitu, and there's a further question. Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Betera. There's another source where it says, Rabbi Yehuda says, not in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, but he says in the name of Ben Betera. What does he say in the name of Ben Betera? Ha'over lefnei teva b'yom tov acharon shel chag, acharon maskir. Our halacha, he passes down, we now have that he passes down our halacha once in the name of Rabbi Yoshua and once in the name of Ben Betera. Now this is particularly confusing because our Braita had, right, it had six opinions if you remember. Okay, four of them are mentioned here on the top of the sheet I made. Right, there's Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Rabbi Akiva. Then there was Rebbe who added something a little off the topic. That's why I didn't put it in here. But anyway, when he says it, he either says it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, which is one of the people in our Braita, or he says it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, or he says it in the name of Ben Betera. We don't know if that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera or not, but it's kind of strange that both of them are in the name of somebody mentioned in the Braita, but it couldn't be either of them because it doesn't match either of their shitot. So now, what do they assume? Based on, it's kind of like a detective work, okay? So what do they answer? So now they continue. They say, and according to that, hey, Ben Betera, which Ben Betera could that be? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda Ben Betera, ha'amar b'sheni b'chag hu maskir. He already says you started on the second day, so he couldn't be talking about that day, right? He was talking about the eighth day. So I'm Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. I'm going to give my answer to Hey, be Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera. Ah, there was a different person whose name was Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera. It wasn't Rabbi Yoshua, and it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. It was Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera, and that And then why did one time he call him Rabbi Yeshua and one time he call him Ben Batera? Now that's easy to explain. Zimnin dekari lebishmei, v'zimnin dekari lebishmei de'aba. Sometimes he called them in his name and sometimes he called them in his father's name. V'ha mikame de l'smechinu, v'ha lebatar de l'smechinu. Before he got smicha, he obviously had some good opinions, so he brought them down, but they called him Ben Batera because he didn't have smicha. Once he got smicha, they called him Rabbi Yeshua. And then, but what's interesting, they didn't call him Rabbi Yeshua Ben Batera, they just called him Rabbi Yeshua. So now, in the end, they conclude, the Gemara's conclusion is that this Rabbi Yeshua is a different Rabbi Yeshua entirely, and it doesn't relate to the other Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. Tana. Now we're going to get into a discussion about which things do you need to mention, which things are critical, which things are not critical. What's really the issue of the rain here? Is it just rain? Is it wind? Is it tall? Right? We know nowadays, right? If you, again, usually I say, forget about we know, but I'll just bring it as background. We say, I'll bring it as background so you see what wasn't clear to them. We say, Mashiv haruach u'morid hageshem. Okay? We mention wind and we mention rain. Okay? In the summer, okay, there's a minhag to say morid hatal. I assume you know this. In America, most people, Ashkenazim, don't say morid hatal. In Israel, most people, including Ashkenazim, and that's a Sephardi thing to say morid hatal, and Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael also have the minhag generally to say morid hatal. Okay, so now there's tal, there's ruach, and there's geshem, and when we say in v'tein bracha, what do we say? V'tein? V'tein tal umata. We say tal and we say matar. Okay? Now the question here at the sugya is really what's critical here? What's the main thing that we're getting from God and what's the main thing that it's clear that God's hand is involved in? Okay? And in the end they're going to say it's really the geshem. The geshem is the key thing because the geshem is what changes and the geshem is what isn't always there and it's what we're dependent on, right? It goes back to the pasuk that we had in Rosh Hashanah. If you want to connect Tani to Rosh Hashanah also, you connect it by this pasuk. If you recall, we were learning how do we know that Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei and that's when the world was created. It says, Mereshit Hashanah, Acharit Hashanah, right? That we're constantly looking toward God. We need the rain. In other words, Eretz Israel is a land that needs rain, not like Mitzrayim where they have water overflowing and we're dependent on God for the rain. And then we have the stories in Eliyahu where also there was no rain and we have a bunch of stories, but Eliyahu is the most famous where there was no rain and Ahav wants rain and there's a whole thing about the rain and Eliyahu shows that the rain comes from God. So now, we're going to use Eliyahu also as proof text. Okay, so the Gemara says, the quote of Brayta, Tana, B'tal u'b'ruchot lo chivu chachamim lehazkir. You don't have to mention tal and ruchot, okay? Even though we do, you don't have to. Okay? Again, like that's the morid hatal, where you see we don't always mention tal. Some people do, some people don't. V'imbal lehazkir maskir. If you want to, great, but you don't have to. My time, why don't you have to? Amar Rabbi Chanina, lefi she'ein ne'etzarim. They never end, they're constant. Something that's a constant, you less need the dependency on God for, because it's always there. V'tal minalein de lo ma'atzer. How do we know that tal is a constant? Now here it's interesting, right? If we try to bring proof, we bring scientists, and we'd say, okay, tell me, is there dew every day? Is there always, right? They bring from psukim, that's their world. So what do they say? Dichtiv. V'yomer Eliyahu tishbi mitoshvei ha'gilad el achav. Chai Hashem Elohei Yisrael asher amadti lefanav, im yihya shanim ha'elu tal u'matar ki im lefi dvari. What does he say? The rain is going to come, he says to Achav, only according to my words, he's talking in the name of God. Rain is going to come from God. Now what does he say? Rain and dew, not just rain, but also the tal. But, uchtiv, but then it says after, lech her'el Achav, go show Achav, ve'etnam matar al pnei adamah. And I am now going to bring rain. In other words, he wants to show off Ahab and show him it comes from me. But in the end, what does he bring? Only the rain. He doesn't bring the tal. V'ilu tal, or he doesn't say, I'm going to bring tal and matar and show him. He says, I'm going to bring rain and show him. V'ilu tal, lo ka'amar leh. He doesn't say tal at all. My time, what's the reason? Mishum delo me'atzer. It's clear from here that the tal wasn't part of this miracle thing because the tal was always there. Okay, now you have a problem. What's the problem? Why did he say in the earlier pasuk Right? Only God brings the Tal Matar. The Tal is always there. Then he shouldn't have mentioned Tal in the first pasuk. So what do they say? Hachik Amarle. Afilu Tal Debracha Nami Lo Ate. There's two different Tals. What are the two different Tals? Tal can be helpful and Tal can be unhelpful. So what he's saying is, I'm not going to give you the good type of Tal. Okay? So now, we have a problem. What's our problem? In the first pasuk that Eliyahu mentions, which says, I'm not going to bring, what does he say? He says, Talumata. In the second pasuk, when he says, I'm now going to show you what I'm going to bring, he only mentions Matar. So the first thing they want to prove from here is clearly, Tal is a constant. Right? But if Tal is a constant, then why do you mention it here? That I'm not going to give you Tal. So I say, no. This is a type of Tal. Tal is a constant, there's always Tal. But it's not always good. So this is the bad, in other words, what I'm not going to always bring is the good type of Tal. Okay? But there always will be Tal. So now the Gemara is going to ask, well, if that's the case, Bili Hadre Tal Debracha. So then when he brings the Matar back, shouldn't he bring back also the Tal of Bracha? So what do they say? Mishum de lo min karam milta. What does that mean? It means that when we don't have a good enough eye to distinguish between what's good Tal and what's bad Tal. So when God says in the end, go show Ahav that I'm going to bring the rain, if he says that I'm going to bring the dew also, well, the dew was there. So whether Ahav could distinguish between what was good dew and bad dew is a whole separate thing. Here he's saying, just know in the beginning, he says, just know that I'm not going to give you any good Tal and I'm not going to give you any rain. When he brings it back, he just says, I'm going to bring you the rain because that's what's noticeable. Whether Tal is good or bad is not so noticeable. So now, okay, that's the Tal. Now what about Ruchot? Ruchot menalan delo me'atzer. So that was all proof to show that Tal is a constant and it's always there. Again, we learned that maybe it's better and worse, but it's always there. Ruchot menalan delo me'atzer, right? Because we said Tal and Ruchot you don't have to mention. How do we know that Ruchot are always there? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, da'amar kra. The pasuk says, ki ke'arba ruchot ha'shamayim perasti etchem. I spread you around the world, right? To all four corners. Ne'um Hashem. My ka'amar lehu. Ilema, if you're going to say, I don't know if you know this, but I translated not so correctly. Okay? I don't know if you picked up on it. Okay? Ilema hachi ka'amar lehu ha'kadosh baruch hu l'Yisrael de'badartinchu ba'arba ruchei da'alma, that I've spread you in all four corners of the world. What does the pasuk say? Ihachi ki arba. The pasuk says ki arba ruchot, like the four winds. Not right. It should be bi arba mebayle. It should be ki bi arba ruchot hashamayim perasi etchem. I spread you in the four corners of the shamayim. Okay. It really should be the four corners of the earth also. Right. Elahachi ka amarle. But this is really what it means when it says ki arba ruchot. What does that mean? Kishem she'iyafshar la'olam below ruchot. Kach iyafshar la'olam below Yisrael, which is taking a pasuk and switching it from the negative to the positive. Right? It's not saying, I spread you all across the world. It's saying, you are important to the world like the four ruchot that are always necessary. So what do you see in this pasuk? There's always ruchot in the world. And that's why, just like the world can't function without ruchot. And why do you need ruchot? Right? In the winter, you have the ruchot because they come with the gshamim. And in the summer, you need the ruchot to cool down the world a little bit. Otherwise, it would be too hot without any wind, as we know living in Ranana. So now what do you prove? That the ruchot are also a constant and therefore you don't need to mention them. So now, if we've established that you don't need to mention Tal and you don't need to mention ruchot, Rabbi Chanina comes up with this halacha and he says, Hilkach, and there's a little chart at the bottom, B'yemor hachama amar mashiv haruach. What if you, in the summer, you said mashiv haruach? Eim machzirin oto. It's fine, because the ruach is all year round. So even though generally we don't say mashiv haruach in the winter, I'm sorry, in the summer, you can still, if you said it, we don't make you go back and fix what you said, because there's rain, there's ruach all year long. Amar morid hageshem, machzirin oto. But if you said morid hageshem in the summer, we make you go back because it's not the appropriate time, because there's never rain in the winter, in the summer, sorry. B'yemot hagshamim, what if it's the winter? Lo amar mashiv haruach. If you don't say mashiv haruach, what's going to be the halacha? We already said, you don't have to, right? So ein machzirin oto, you don't have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. But lo amar morid hageshem machzirin oto. But geshem is something you have to say, and therefore, if you didn't say morid hageshem, we send you back and we make you say it again. Lo od ella. Not only that, but even one more thing he adds. Afilu amar ma'avir haruach u'mafriach hatal, em machzirin oto. Even if you say that God stops the wind and doesn't bring the tal, which would negate what we said, right? What did we say? Hashem always brings rain and always brings tal. So if you were to say something silly like, there's no, right? God takes away the rain and he takes away the dew. Ein machzirin oto. You don't make him go back. And this is a strange statement. Okay? They explain that Rashi says, Deloma atzre. It's hard to understand exactly what this statement is coming about. Rashi says, because they're always a constant. It's weird, though. And the point is that what you're saying is just kind of meaningless. And then some of the Mefarshim say here, it's actually an interesting discussion. They talk about that if you, and it's basically what they're saying is whatever you said is just meaningless. And therefore, we don't make you go back because it was just as if like you didn't say anything. Okay? So there was some statement I saw here that, second. Right, so here they explain that it's like adding something unnecessary, and the Hagahot Parat Yosef proves from here, according to the note in the Schottenstein, that someone who speaks in the middle of tefillah doesn't need to go back to the beginning of the tefillah. That if you say something that doesn't belong in the tefillah, you just start talking, you don't have to go back. Because you see from here, it's as if you just made a hefsek in your tefillah, and therefore you don't have to go back. Okay, but anyway, it says, look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, which I didn't have a chance to do, about what happens if you say something unnecessary in your tefillah, or irrelevant. Okay. Tan, another braita. Ba'avim uberuchot lo chivu chachamim lahazkir. Okay, this braita mentions the ruchot like we talked about before, and it also mentions now avim, okay, the clouds. The chachamim didn't say you have to mention them. Vim ba lahazkir maskir, but if you want to, you can. My taima, what's the reason? Mishum de lo me'atzre. Again, the same reason, because they're always there. The lo me'atzre, is it true that they're always there? V'ha tane Rabbi Yosef, here's a braita. Va'atzaret hashamayim min ha'avim. Okay, so va'atzaret hashamayim, we all know that pasuk from Shema. Va'atzaret hashamayim v'lo yehiye matar. Okay, there's two parts to this sentence. Okay, va'atzaret hashamayim. Okay, v'lo yehiye matar. This is if the Jews don't go in God's ways, what's going to happen? He's going to stop the sky. V'lo yehiye matar, and there's not going to be any rain. Now we generally read this as one thing. He's going to stop the sky so that it doesn't rain. But they look at this as two different things. Ba'atzaret ha'shamayim v'lo yehiye matar. So what do they say? Ba'atzaret ha'shamayim, what does that mean? Min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. He's going to stop the skies that there won't be avim, there won't be clouds, and there won't be ruchot. That's the first part of the sentence. So then they say, ata umer min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. Now they question that assumption. Do you really mean this min avim uruchot? Or maybe it's from Geshem. Which one is it? Okay, so now they say, Kishuhu omer velo yeh matar, hare matar amor. They're saying from this last part, you already get the Geshem. And therefore, ha ma'ani makayim batar tashamayim, this pasuk is really unnecessary. It could have just said, velo yeh matar. So why does it say batar tashamayim? That comes to teach us min avim u'min aruchot. So therefore, it's not Geshem, it's avim uruchot. Now, if you say that, what do you see here? That God does have the power to stop the avim and the ruchot. And therefore, you can't say that they're not under God's control and they're constant. So now they say, kashya ruchot aruchot and kashya avim avim. So now they say, therefore, we have a problem also with the ruchot and also with the avim because we just established that both these things are constants. And according to this bright set, they're not constants. So what did they answer? Avim a'avim lo kashya. Okay, first let's start with the clouds. Ha b'charfe, ha b'afle. Okay, there's two different types of clouds. One are clouds. The Rashi explains charfe, avim b'chirot haba'im lefnei hamatar ve'enan atzurot. They're clouds that come before the rains, and they never end. And then there's b'afle, which are the ones that come after the rains, and those basically help out the rains. Okay, and that's like a helpful, good cloud, and those God will stop. Those are the ones that God has the power to stop. So there's two different types, just like we saw with the tal. There were two different types. There's good tal and bad tal. Here we have the rains that come, the clouds that come before the rains. Those are constants. And the ones that come after the rains that help out, those are not constants, and those God can control. Ruchot aruchot lokasha, habiruch metzuya, habiruch she'ena metzuya. This is something we see a lot when it comes, we're going to see it in Nezikin. What if something gets blown over by a ruch she'ena metzuya, a non? We saw it with sukkah, actually. There's a regular wind, and there's an irregular wind. So regular winds are always there, but irregular winds are irregular winds. God can sometimes bring and sometimes not. And then they say, one second, Rosh She'ena Metsuya, right, Vatsar, Vafilu Hachiloch Yivulazkir, right. Okay, so now what do they say? Ruach She'ena Metsuya, so a Ruach She'ena Metsuya, according to this, one second, a Ruach She'ena Metsuya would be the Ruach that God can control, right? It's not a constant. And therefore, that's what it's talking about when it says Va'atzar et ha-shamayim, right? That he stops the Ruach She'ena Metsuya. So they say, Ruach She'ena Metsuya chazi lebeidrei. A Ruach She'ena Metsuya is helpful in the Goren. And therefore, it's something that we actually need. What does it do? It helps you separate the wheat from the chaff, right? So they're saying because of that, I think it's the... because of that, what is it? It's helpful to us, and therefore we should have to mention it in our tefillah. What was the whole assumption here? That you don't have to mention the ruach because it's not something you need all the time. But now they're saying no. The ruach she'ena metsuya, which you might think, oh, it's a bad wind, you don't need it. No, it actually can work to do borer for us. So they say, yeah, but that's not the kind of thing you need to pray for. Why? Because if it doesn't rain in the sky, so we don't really have a way to compensate for that. But if you don't have this Ruach She'ena Metsuya to help separate your wheat, that's not an issue because of Sharbanat Bata. You can use a kli to do it. You don't need the wind. Yes, it's helpful, but you can survive without it. So therefore, we don't say it in our tefillah. Okay. Now, the last part we're going to get to today is about the Avim and the Ruchot. They're saying, Tana, there's another brayta that says, Ha'avim ra'ruchot shniyot lematar. They're very essential for the rains. Okay, they're secondary to them, but secondary meaning they worked in conjunction with the rains. Okay, that you need them in order to have the rain be effective. Hechidami, what's the case? Amar Ula v'item Rabbi Yehuda de batar mitra. Okay, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda said they're talking about the winds and the clouds that come after the rain. So they say lememra demal yutahi. Are you trying to say that the ones that come after the rains are helpful? V'haktiv, doesn't it say in the pasuk, Yitain Hashem et matar tzacha avak v'afar. V'amar Ula v'itema Rabbi Yehuda zika debatar mitra. It says in this pasuk that God's going to make your rains create dust and dirt, like all over, right? It's just going to be a mess. It's going to be unpleasant. So Ula and Rabbi Yehuda says, what's he going to bring after the rains? That's the wind that comes after the rain. So what do you see? The wind that comes after the rain isn't a good thing. It's dafka, a bad thing. So then they say, no, don't worry. We're not talking about the exact same rain. Lo kashya. Hada ata nicha, v'hada ata razia. There's some that come very strong, and there's some that come binacha, right? They come calmly. So now they say, hada ma'ale avak, v'hada lo ma'ale avak. The one that comes very strong and very heavy, that's the one that's bad, and it brings a lot of dust. But the one that comes benachad is the one that's actually helpful after the rain. Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda zika debatar mitra kemitra iva. Kemitra. And here Rabbi Yehuda says, the wind, zika is wind. The wind that comes after the rains is like the rain. And iva debatar mitra kemitra. Also the clouds that come after the rain are like the rain itself. And shimsha debatar mitra Kitre mitre. The sun that comes after the rain is like two rains. If it's sunny after the rains, it makes the rain useful double. Okay, it's as if it rained double. Lemiute mai, lemiute gilhe delila, v'shimshe debene karche. Okay, what's this coming to? They're saying, what's Rabbi Yehuda trying to say? That the sun that comes after the rain is like two rains. Which sun is he trying to say isn't good? So he says, in other words, in which cases is it bad after the rain? So what does he say? What's bad after the rains? In other words, he's saying these things are good when they come after the rain. To say that certain things are bad, what's bad? Barak, okay, the thunder that comes, the lightning that comes after the rain, that's bad. And the Shimsha Debene Karche, when the sun shines between the clouds after the rain, that's not good sun. Because there, some of the sun is cloudy and some of it is sunny, and that's definitely not a useful type of rain. Okay, then the last statement in this issue, we'll end with two more statements of Rava. Ma le talga le ture, the talga, okay, here's Aramaic. Talga is, who remembers, tuf switches with what letter? This happens all the time.
Shin.
Yafeh. Tuf switches with shin, okay? How do we know tlat is shalosh, right? Tlat ofan, a tricycle, okay? It comes up in modern Hebrew, even the word tlat. So talga is
sheled,
yafeh. Okay, so sheleg ma'ale talga leture, ture or are mountains. The sheleg is good for the mountains. Kechamisha mitre la'ara. It's like five rains on the ground. Shneamar ki la sheleg yomar heve aretz. It's a pasuk from Iyov. V'geshem matar v'geshem mitrot uzo. Okay, now here, what do we have here? The sheleg says to the aretz, right? It's to the aretz. V'geshem matar v'geshem mitrot. Count. Geshem is one, matar is one, geshem mitrot is three, because geshem is one and mitrot is double, it's three. So it's two. So you end up with five. They're saying the sheleg is equal to five. And one last thing, talga leture, again, the sheleg for the mountains, mitra razia is like matar that comes very strongly, li'ilane. It's good for the trees. And mitra nicha, and the matar that comes down, the rain that comes, I'm sorry, I read this wrong. Talga leture, in other words, the snow is good for the mountains, number one. Number two, mitra razia le'ilane. If you have strong rains, those are good for trees. And mitra nicha le'pere. And the matar that comes gradually and slowly is better for the peirot and really the stuff that grows on the ground. I don't know why they call them peirot, because it's really, right, the peirot should be on the trees. But
this is just those produce.
Right, they're saying the shorshei ilanot are... right. Why is the heavy rains good for the trees? Because their roots go further down. And the peirot here, they obviously mean the peirot that aren't on the trees. They really mean the crops, basically, that are in the sadot. And for that, you're better off with slower rains. Okay, that's it for today. We'll pick up on Sunday on Daf Dalet, and we'll have our Siyum on Shabbat. Michelle.